everyone, and welcome back to Pieces from Prison, episode 10. I'm your host, Ariel. My sister cannot be here with me today, but still going to be a great episode nonetheless. I'm so excited to have you back this week if you're listening. Before I get into anything new, I want to talk about the episode we did last week. I was so excited to have Michael Lacey on. It was actually funny how I found him. I was going through my old TikTok likes, and I saw an old video of his, and where I realized when I was going through my old likes that we were, like, from the same area. So I was like, how have I not, like, reached out to this guy before? He would be great to have on my episode, or on one of our episodes. So I reached out to him, and he was so genuine and nice from the beginning, and he was more than happy to meet with me. On kind of a short notice and do the episode with us. So I just want to thank him again for talking about everything. I hope everyone liked that episode, and I really am interested to see your guys' thoughts. So also, speaking of kind of TikTok, I did make an account. I'm not lying this time like I lied about YouTube. Our TikTok account is at Pieces from Prison Pod, and I started posting like little snippets of our episodes, but if you've been listening to each episode, they're going to be nothing new to you, but go ahead and follow us on there anyways and on Instagram as well. Also, two episodes ago, we talked a little bit about how I communicate with the people in my letters, and so far, it has only been through snail mail. I write my initial letter, and they respond typically in like a week and a half, 2 weeks. But some do take longer than others because it takes a long time to handwrite everything. And depending on the prison, some like inspect it more than others. Some just skim like the letter and envelope and make sure everything's fine. But some, like how I mentioned before, some do read each page of each letter and stamp each page to show that it's been like read through. But anyways, I discovered a website where I can email them now. I mean, it depends on the prison still, but they have like tablets, I guess, and they're able to email back and forth, which makes it so much faster. So I don't have to like wait for the mail to arrive and all that. So it's been great. So this is going to be our first episode through email. And the man in this letter is incarcerated for first degree murder. So he says, "Growing up, I feel like I never had a real chance in this world. My mom was 16 when she had me. My father was 18. My dad's family was poor and drunks and drug addicts. My mom sighed. She stopped talking to them and disowned most of her family, as far back as I can remember. We never had a place of our own. We bounced from place to place. My mom never spent time around us. She gambled what money they had. And my father, he did drugs, so he spent his time doing that. So growing up, me and my sisters, we didn't have many hand-me-downs, and we had a lot of Goodwill clothes. We got made fun of a lot, and that made it hard to make friends, and my confidence level was low. And then as I got into my early teens, my dad used to beat me and tell me how worthless I was. He wouldn't let me join sports, go to the proms, school dances, and go out with friends or see my girlfriend. He wanted me home so I could be his personal slave and pick up after his mess. My mom didn't care. She hated me. She even tried to give me up and put me in a foster home. So after a while, I got tired of it. I started hanging out with the wrong people, stopped caring about school, everything, and did drugs, and stayed away from home for weeks. I ended up getting into trouble. I did some time in juvenile prison, did some rehab for almost 2 years. Finally, I came home with a better outlook on life. I had to live with my mom, and we didn't see eye to eye on anything. I sat out of her way, and she stayed out of mine. And it worked. I was going to a nearby community college to get my GED, but my little sister lived there with us, and we got into an argument over a TV. It was stupid. She called my mom, and when my mom came home, she threw me out of the house, called my parole officer, so I had nowhere to go. My dad and I weren't talking. I had no real family. I felt defeated, like I just couldn't win no matter how hard I tried. There was no love in my family and no support. So then here's the worst part. I came across my cousin. We aren't close, but know each other. He tells me he's on the run, that he's facing all this time for some car thefts or whatever. He tells me he knows a guy that sells drugs and has a lot of money, and he needed my help to rob and take the guy's money. This is something I've never done before, but I just went through what I did with my mom. I had no place to stay, and I just stopped caring, so I said I would help. He said he would use the money and leave town, so I agreed and I would get my piece of it. So I helped, and everything didn't turn out the way I hoped. We go in the guy's house while he's home, things go smooth, and it just goes south fast. We get ready to leave, and my cousin tells me to knock him out with the bat behind the door. So I do, only it didn't knock him out, it caused him to seize, and he died minutes after we left. But come to find out, my cousin lied to me. He wasn't running from the cops. He used me to get money so he could get high. So here I am, sitting in prison, and someone died because of all of it. But everything I went through, it impacted my way of thinking. I felt defeated, unloved, I had no hope, and felt beat down. In that moment, when I was trying so hard to get my life together, and my mom threw me out of her house and called my parole officer to try to have me locked up, I lost myself and I gave up. I felt useless. When I came to prison, I was able to get my head on right and realize I was more than they ever made me feel, and I gave them too much power over my life. I appreciate every little thing in life now. I try to help people that were in my shoes and encourage them and show them they can change, and that their life is more than what they were brought up in. I'm such a better man today in the way I think and feel. I wish I knew now what I didn't know then. I wish I could take it all back. I let my parents have too much power over my emotions. They made me feel useless and took all my confidence away. But I always try to remember that there are people who go through worse. So this just reiterates how important a role family plays in a young person's life. Yes, kids do stupid things and they get in trouble, but it's not normal for a young kid to be in and out of juvie throughout his teenage years. We see it time and time again throughout these letters. A lot of the people have mentioned not having any positive role models or any type of guidance. And it really makes a difference in who they become. And once again, like we always say, I'm not excusing his actions at all. We always say murdering someone, taking a life, is never okay just because you had a bad childhood. And I also know that this man knew it was wrong to knock someone out with a bat, but he just wasn't thinking of the consequences. He had no one to lean on. If his parents hadn't kicked him out over something so small, chances are he wouldn't be in this situation at all. But he also told me his dad passed away right before writing this letter. So I feel so bad that they, like, of course they're not, he's in there for murder. They're not going to let him leave. But I still feel for him. He mentioned his father not being the best dad growing up, but he has sent me a few emails since this, and he's really taking it hard. I can't imagine losing someone in prison and not being able to do anything from in there. But specifically, he said, "My father was a real asshole, but I loved him all the same. It's hard because I couldn't see him. And it's been years since we last talked. That's the one thing about being in prison. You lose so many people you love, and you can't ever say goodbye or see them one last time. So I'm hurting pretty bad inside over it right now. I'm not sure how to mourn him. I just kind of lay here, taking it all in because it doesn't feel real. But it is. So he's in a pretty unfortunate situation right now. So I'm definitely sending thoughts his way. I also mentioned
that we had a listener have some questions for the man that we talked about in Sentenced to Life at 18 years old. So here are the questions that she had. She said, the rival gang member that he killed, did that person make attempts to kill him prior to the murder? And was his legal representation a public defender? I'm curious to know if the so-called family members that testified against him did it to reduce any charges they may have had prior. Thank you for your podcast. I have to admit that I never thought about individuals who are incarcerated and may never have their freedom again. It is sad to think of so many wasted lives. Even more sad to think that it could have been different if they were brought up in different circumstances. Which is true. So thank you for that. And I'm going to go ahead and read the answer to some of these questions. So he writes, Dear Ariel, hello again. Thank you for responding. Yes, life is a trip. My ex-brother-in-law was like my dad. I looked up to him in every way. It still shocks me to this day that him and his brothers, who was like my older brothers, got arrested on drug trafficking charges. So being wanted for murder, I caught a ride with two other friends who are meeting a potential client. We make it to the hotel at night, and the next morning they're supposed to drop me off at my grandma's. At this time, my ex-brother-in-law has been locked up for about 2 months. Come to find out, he has been cooperating with the feds. The feds raided the hotel. Wrong place, wrong time. I left to elude being captured. Instead, I came right into it. At first, they had me on some Fed charges. Detectives from the homicide unit come and question me. I don't tell them nothing, so I didn't know that before they came to talk to me, they talked to my ex-brother-in-law. He was facing a lot of Fed time. I get all my paperwork. He tells them if he can get me to confess to him, can he get a reduced sentence? He had no shame in what he did. Long story short, as him and his brothers all received 15 plus years in the feds. And in the feds, you have to do a minimum of 85% of your time. He was a star witness. He got 15 years and did 3. His little brother got 18 years and did 10. And his baby brother got 15 years and did 8. So my sister left him after he got arrested. They had a son together. My sister helped raise me. She did her best. She had it rough growing up, too. She battles her own addiction to drugs. She's doing better now. She's 7 years older than me. So the way we lived was normal to us. I probably committed a felony every day I was out. Of course, it's not normal, but it's all I knew. I never had a job. Why work when I can take someone else's money? This was my mindset. My sister knew most of what I or we did. My mom is out, finally sobering up. Drugs is all she knew. She's 56 now and has been sober for about 3 years. Better life now for her. We talk. She had it bad growing up too. It's like a never-ending cycle for us. I moved around so much as a child with all kinds of different relatives and sometimes people we barely knew. She was not a good mother, but how could I blame her? If anything, I feel sorry on how she was raised. My father, too. This dude was in prison at 15 years old. In 1980, they shipped him out here. I could only imagine how his childhood was. He's out and has done a lot of prison time, but we don't talk. You're right. Writing does help. It feels good to vent and get stuff off my chest. In my heart, I know I'll never get out of prison. My biggest fear is being an old man in prison. I don't want to be an old man in prison. I've done so much bad in my life. I wasted a life, you know? I'm actually pretty smart. I'm just knee-deep in this lifestyle. Why do good now? I ask myself. Don't feel sorry for me. Just know when one is in prison, they have no hope. it can create a monster. You know, I told you I'm real and honest. I have nothing to hide. I just caught another 20 years. I guess it's my way of honoring the system. I do have a heart. So check this out. I had two little homies with me the day I killed the dude. Not to make excuses. I took a man's life. He was no saint either. He was just like me. We had altercations where we both shot at each other on multiple occasions. He used to come to my neighborhood, tagging it up, trying to kill us, and I did the same. I just happened to catch him on a night in an alley without his gun. So the two dudes that was with me testified against me, and I forgave them. You know why? Because they decided to change their lives. They don't gangbang and are doing good. And at least that can come out of it, you know? Now for my ex-brother-in-law and his brothers, I hate with a passion. I fantasize every day about killing them. They didn't change their lives. They're rats and they still try to gangbang. That just drives me crazy. They have every reason to change their lives and they go back to doing this. Do they not know what will happen if they show up in my domain? I just caught 20 years because I caught a dude that was similar to them. It's a long story. This is what my life has become. This is who I am. I still love to laugh and have fun. I still get sad and emotional. For God's sakes, I cried at the end of the notebook. My life is crazy and it sucks, but I'm going to make the best of it my way. I do really appreciate what you're doing, and of course a listener can ask anything. I spoke most of it in this letter. Yes, I had a public defender. I'm real and raw. You might not hear what you want, but it's the truth. So those are the answers to that. It is crazy how he is able to forgive people that went against him like that. Yes, he does. I mean, he admits it. He took a man's life. That's never right. So he does deserve to do this time in prison. But it's really, you know, admiring of him to me that he's able to forgive the people who testified against him. And I kind of agree with what he's saying, how he hates his ex-brother-in-law and all his little brothers because they haven't changed their life. They were involved in the same thing he was involved in and choose to still do it after all this time. So that makes the story interesting. So thank you for writing in those questions. As I always say, if you have any questions for the people in this letter, I'd love to reach out to them and get those answers for you. So that's it for episode 10. Thank you guys so much for listening. Give us a follow on TikTok and Instagram again at Pieces from Prison Pod. You can listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Google Podcasts, basically everywhere you can get a podcast. Rate us so we know how we're doing. Subscribe to us or follow us so you know when new episodes are being released. And we will see you next week. Bye.